This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. There were a couple of primaries last night, and the Pennsylvania GOP Senate primary could be headed for a recount, according to Fox News. It was thrown into chaos because of an unexpected error affecting mail-in ballots. These errors are a lot like inflation. No one sees it coming until it's too late.
Well, Election Day tends to sneak up on you, you know.
You know, Jared, whether it's inflation or whether it's elections, you know what you need to do? Lower your expectations and just be grateful. Just shut up and appreciate all the good things that Joe Biden is doing in this country. 844-500-4242. We have some people on the line who want to discuss this, and then I want to get into the Democrats' latest smear campaign against Republicans. Let's go to the callers first, though. You can always call in 844-500-4242. Nick, you are up first on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Early this morning, Oz was up by about 2,600. He's up by approximately the same amount now, after about close to 7,000 votes have been tallied. The interesting thing I find is, why are they still saying only 95% of the vote is in?
Yeah.
I suspect it will be stolen from him, and it won't be Republicans doing it. This is Democrats stealing it for a rhino. Mail-in ballots. Same scenario. What do you think, Grace?
Well, officials in Lancaster County, they say the state's sixth most populous, so the problem involved at least 21,000 mailed ballots, only a third of which were scanning properly. The glitch, love that word, the glitch, will force election workers to redo ballots that can't be read by the machine. A laborious process expected to take several days. Officials in the GOP-controlled county pledged that all the ballots will be counted eventually. To be honest, Nick, I don't know enough yet. Like, this is all still coming out. I haven't fully made up my mind. We'll see how it plays out, and I'm sure I'll have more to say on it a little bit later. But it doesn't bode well for the midterms, for all of the future elections in general. I'm starting to get to the point now where I think, and this is gonna upset people, but I do think we should just have one day of voting where people can come in and vote. And unless you're going to be away and you send in your ballot weeks earlier, you're out as far as the mail-in ballots go. This whole thing is a disaster. And you know, sometimes in life, you get a chance to prove yourself. Like, the Democrats are big on these mail-in ballots. For some reason, they're more hot on the mail-in ballots than the Republicans are. Why that would be, I do not know. I'm not a mind reader like Joe Biden, okay? I really don't know. Maybe they feel they'll benefit more from the mail-in ballots. It's a little bit easier to get these out to people. Again, who's to say? But they had a chance to prove how smooth this was in 2020. They had a chance to show us that this is all on the level. And instead, I read a poll, and I'll find the exact outlet so I can cite it. But it's because there's a lot of conversation about, oh, Republicans think the election was stolen, whether or not you're supposed to say that or acknowledge it. Well, 60% of Republicans did not have faith in the integrity of the election, whether or not they believed that it was something with machines or, you know, whatever theory it might be. If 60% of a political party, of one of the two main political parties in this country, does not feel confident that their vote was counted properly and that this was all on the level, that's a problem for everyone. That is actually a threat to democracy. I know that we're told, you know, the tweets by Donald Trump and, you know, something Tucker Carlson said, that all of that's a threat to democracy. But when people lose faith in their elections, that actually is a threat to democracy. And Democrats don't care at all. They don't even want to talk about it. So I think that they had their chance to show us that this was all going to be hunky-dory, and it failed. And every single time, I mean, you know, these major elections are one thing, but I mean, in a lot of these mayoral races, this stuff happens, that there's something wrong with the machine, something goes wrong at the last minute, they have to pretend to be shocked, they have to recount things, they have to go in and fix things. Sometimes no one can be around when they're fixing all of these issues. It just reeks of corruption. If you're not looking at this and going, I don't feel good about this, then you have a lot more faith than I do. I might even call you naive.
You know what they need to do is they need to just print up the candidates, put it in a booth. Everybody walks in with a blank piece of paper and write down names and just hand them into a machine. That's all you need. Sign the thing with your signature. Bang. Go old school. No computers, no barcodes, no sealed any of that crap. No stamps, no watermarks, just good old-fashioned printer paper.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
And you know what? Let's do it Saturday. Oh, if people got to work, okay. You have to go to your job on a Tuesday. You can't vote. Why can't we vote on a Saturday when the bulk of people aren't working? There are some people.
Well, because then we won't get the day off from work. And that's what I'm gunning for here. What's
I
one
suppose
more?
There are some jobs that do give you the day off to vote.
What's one more day off in the American calendar? Okay. One more. At least this one, people will actually accomplish something. They can go in and vote rather than just taking the day watching TV. All right. We'll continue to take your calls on this. If you have a hot take on the Dr. Oz election and all our primary and all of these other things, Madison Cawthorn, you know, whatever it might be. But something I wanted to talk about here, and I wasn't even going to discuss this yesterday because I didn't really want to give it any airtime. I think it's ridiculous, but I'm noticing that it's becoming more and more clear that the Democrat Party and Joe Biden's administration are going to make this their next bogus narrative to try to manipulate people into, you know, their outrage, and it's ridiculous. So I think it's important we break down what's happening here. The Buffalo shooter, and that was horrible, and I'm outraged, and everyone should be outraged, and it was a horrible thing that happened. But the Buffalo shooter wrote about this thing called the replacement theory. You probably heard about it a lot in the last 24 or 48 hours. And in his chaotic and nonsensical manifesto, which the left is now trying to make sense of and trying to pin on certain people, he called himself in this manifesto a left-winger, a right-winger, an eco-fascist, an anti-Semite, you name it. He described himself as it. Well, the theory that this lunatic was writing about is the idea that Jewish people are conspiring to destroy white America by importing non-white immigrants. It's a terrible, terrible thing, and it should and is condemned by all serious people on both sides of the aisle. You're not hearing Republicans talking about the actual theory and saying, I support this, I think this is what it is. What Tucker Carlson and other Republicans have sounded the alarm about is something quite different. And that is the idea that Democrats view immigration as a way to change the elections and turn the elections in their favor. We'll be having John Davidson on about this tomorrow. Now, the key here that Democrats are using, which we see a lot, is conflation. That those are their two strongest points, inflation and conflation. But they conflate things in order to skew the narrative, in order to make it really, really tricky for Republicans to make their argument, to make their case. And here's how they do that. You might, if you're thinking, okay, well, give me another example of conflation, I'll give you one. When Ron DeSantis said, I'm going to let the parents decide if their kids are going to be masked in schools, Democrats started running with the talking point. Ron DeSantis is banning masks in schools. That was outright false. He was banning teachers from being able to decide if kids wear masks. He's not banning masks. If a parent said, I want my kid to wear a mask, there was no issue with that. But they conflated the two things to try to confuse people. They also did this with the parental rights bill. Ron DeSantis said, you know, I don't think that teachers should be talking to kids K through 3 about sexual orientation. The Democrats turned that into the Don't Say Gay bill. The two things had nothing to do with each other. Gay wasn't even in the bill. But soon it became Ron DeSantis doesn't think the teacher should be able to say the word gay in school. And so they conflate the two things that have nothing to do with each other to the point where you go, I don't even know what we're arguing about anymore, but somehow I'm being called a homophobe. That is what the Democrats are very, very good at. And so it's smart because now if a Republican talks about illegal immigration and says this is out of control, we need to do something about this. This is dangerous. Fentanyl's pouring over the border. Dangerous gang members are pouring over the border. If you say anything like that, or if even if you just say, listen, we do not have the resources to take care of all of these people who are not American citizens when we can't even take care of the babies that are here that don't have formula. Well, now you can be accused now because of all of this of partaking in this replacement theory, even if you have no interest in that, even if you think it's horrible, if you condemn it. So it's the chill factor. It's chilling speech. It's making people afraid to make their argument because they're going to get labeled with something that has nothing to do with what they're talking about. And they use the emotional manipulation to guilt people into not stating the obvious. And then they can win the argument. Now, what's hilarious, though, about this specific tactic in this case is that they have talked about this. They have talked about illegal aliens and immigration and using that to change the electorate multiple times. They've bragged about it. Forget talk about it. They've bragged about it. We have a montage of Democrats, we'll play it on the other side, bragging about this very thing that now we're not allowed to point out. They were allowed to brag about it. They were allowed to talk about it proudly. Terry McAuliffe. At one point, Terry McAuliffe told Hispanic people that they need to hurry up and have more kids so that they could get the population up to 11%. So that was okay. But if a Republican points that out, now you are considered part of the right-wing hate machine that led to the Buffalo shooter killing all of those innocent people. Conflation. And the sad part is it works. I think it's working less and less as this administration keeps going because people are starting to catch on to this. But it's still happening. I think it's important we talk about it. Let's go to Dan. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Hi, Grace. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to turn it back to elections because I do agree with you. Elections should be done all in one day. And what I would take it a little further. Make election day a 24-hour election day. This way, no matter what shift you work, you have a way to get to the polls. This way, you know, we can cut down on a lot of these absentee ballots because years ago, it was just military and people who were, you know, homebound who need an absentee ballot. Now anyone can get one.
Yeah, and you know what that makes me think of, Dan, is the fact that it was so bizarre in 2020 how we all went to bed and we woke up the next day still not knowing who the president was. Like, how many days went by? I think it happened. I think I found out about it the following. They decided who was president the following Saturday. So people voted on Tuesday. We didn't find out till around Saturday when Fox News decided who was going to be the president of the United States. And that's kind of bizarre in itself. I remember when I was little, waking up and saying to my parents, who won? Who won? I didn't really care. I was young, you know, but I wanted to know if the person they wanted to win won, you know. And I remember waking up and you'd find out. That was just the natural thing. Who's the president of the United States? Now we wait a week to find out. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. 844-500-4242. Stay on the lines. We're going to take your calls right when we get back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Stephen Hayward from Powerline Blog has a really good story out today. I believe Howie mentioned it in his Howie's Homework. It's titled The Replacements. And I'm going to read you just a little bit of that, just a tiny bit. I think people will like it. But first, the poll question today is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back, and it's a great value. The top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors. Someone's cooking up something stinky in the microwave. To get rid of allergens and air pollutants. So get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the Disinformation Governance Board is gone for good?
No, it will be back. I have a feeling that we have not seen the end of, as Twitter's calling her, Scary Poppins. I think Scary Poppins will be back.
59% agree that no, it is not done.
Yeah, no. Big Brother is not done with us just yet. Not while Elon Musk is still potentially going to take over
Screw
Twitter.
Screw your freedom.
By the way, did you see Elon Musk said that he's going to vote Republican?
I did see that.
Something's happening, Jared. I don't know. If Bezos comes out and says the same thing, people are going to lose their minds even more than they already have. Let's go to Thomas. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Thomas.
Hey, Grace. This term that they're throwing out, replacements, I don't think they're trying to replace white people in this country. I think they're trying to replace conservative and moderate-minded people by bringing in people, generally speaking, are undereducated. I'm sure most of them are good people. I will not demonize.
Hold on, Thomas, because and I understand you don't want to demonize them, but I think this is actually a point that John Davidson makes in his piece, which is a lot of the people who Democrats assumed were going to come to this country and vote Democrat are actually not doing that. I mean, you're seeing that Republicans are really making strides with people in this country, then Democrats didn't expect it. So we're going to get into that in a second. But I also want to play, because when we talk about this replacement theory, which the actual theory itself is horrible, but what a lot of people like Thomas and other Republicans are talking about is not replacement theory. That's not what it is. They're saying, oh, a bunch of people are going to come into this country and it's going to change the electorate. That is not what replacement theory is. Let's play a little bit of a flashback here. This is all of the people. It's a supercut of Democrats in the media spreading the replacement theory before it became something that is being hurled at Republicans as hate speech. This is cut 7.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, we'll be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
It seems harder and harder to ignore that the echoes of replacement theory and other racially motivated views are increasingly coming out into the open.
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point.
So if anyone is spreading this toxic theory, it would be Democrats, and they were spreading it proudly. But now, because it's bizarro world, it's somehow Republicans who have blood on their hands. Ridiculous. We'll play more of this sound. We'll take more of your calls. I'll read a little bit from Powerline blog. We also got to talk about Andrew Cuomo's pet project gone awry. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
What the Democrats need to do, and it's so obvious at this point, is brand them with it, is basically take this replacement theory and now make it the Republican racist replacement theory. Make every Republican answer, do you believe in it or not? Brand every Republican. This is the party of the replacement theory. Take what is a sliver, or I'm a real minority, but a minority, and make it the entire raison d'etre of the Republican Party. Do the same thing with violence. It's the RV party. It's the Republican Violence Party. Brand them. The very, this is judo, the very, very heinous things that they stand for and are hiding behind, brand them on it. Take a branding iron, put it on them so that any mainstream Republican has to wear that badge and go, are you voting Republican? Do you understand you're voting for the replacement theory? Do you believe in that? Is that what you stand for? Do you believe that immigrants are coming over to replace white people and it's part of a Jewish cabal planning this whole thing and through interracial marriage?
It Tucker Carlson, that any of these Republicans have said, has nothing to do with a Jewish cabal or white people being replaced. It has to do with immigration changing the electorate, which is something that Democrats have bragged about profusely over the last couple of years. And by the way, if that's the new tactic, is just take the most extreme standpoint of a political party and make everyone answer for it, which Republicans already have to do. That's something that we've had to do forever. How about Democrats? Some of the political fringe in the Democrat Party think it's okay to kill a child once the child is born, if the child is on the table, just born at the hospital, and the mother decides, yeah, no, I don't think so, that child can be killed. Should we brand all Democrats with that? No, we can ask them the question. They can say they agree or disagree. If someone came up to me and said, you are a Trump-supporting Republican, do you believe in the white replacement theory? I would say, no. No, I don't. Do you believe in the theory that you're bringing over illegal immigrants to vote Democrat? Something that you've bragged about multiple times in the past? There we go. And by the way, Donnie Deutsch, ugh. I know people can't see me right now because it's radio, but I roll. The fakest tough guy going. The fact that he's still on MSNBC. And clearly, I understand now why they have Monty spewing such wisdom. He is one of the worst fake tough guys. He's up there with like Andrew Cuomo. Talk about, he is the guy where Trump is living in his head rent-free at all times. He can't get over the fact that Trump, a New Yorker like him, could actually make it. And he's still sitting next to Joe Scarborough spewing complete BS. He's also just very much exposing how the Democrats operate, which I don't think is going to have the effect he thinks it is. He's like, oh, convince everyone that this tiny, tiny theory that no one in the Republican Party actually believes represents all of them. Yeah, no, we know that that's the dirty tricks that you like to do, Donnie, but that doesn't mean that people are going to fall for it. All right, we're going to play a couple more flashbacks here. We're going to take some of your calls. But first, I just want to read you just a little bit here from Stephen Hayward from Powerline Blog. I'm just skipping around. He says, the replacements. I'm so old I can remember Bill Clinton blaming the 1995 Oklahoma bombing on Rush Limbaugh. Heck, I'm so old I can recall MSNBC and the rest of the leftist hive blaming the 2011 shooting of Representative Gabby Giffords on Sarah Palin when 30 seconds of observation showed clearly the shooter was severely mentally ill. Actually, this is the left's oldest playbook. It hasn't gotten any less stale than it was in the aftermath of that November 1963 day in Dallas when the left blamed JFK's assassin on a climate of right-wing hate. So that was 1963, we were told of a climate of right-wing hate in Texas, despite the obvious fact that Kennedy's killer was a dedicated communist. You didn't need to be a rocket scientist to know the left would blame the Buffalo shooter on Tucker Carlson. Anyone remember the Unabomber's manifesto in the late 1990s, which spawned the internet parlor game of comparing the Unabomber's manifesto to Al Gore's Earth in the Balance? The similarities were embarrassing for the Veep. Alston Chase argued persuasively in A Mind for Murder that Ted Kaczynski's manifesto was derived from what he taught at Harvard around the same time Gore was a student. Is Harvard to blame for the Unabomber's rampage? If an eco-warrior blows up a pipeline or oil refinery, can we blame Greta Thunberg? Finally, the central focus of outrage from the left that right now operates is a 24/7 mode of calling all white Americans racist, is something called the replacement theory. This is, in any conversation you have with Democrats, it always comes back to the racism accusation. And Donald Trump was asked about this a couple of weeks ago. He was on a podcast, and he made such a good point. He was like, at first, it really bothered me when liberals would call me a racist. And I think that's a natural reaction to have, especially if you're someone like Trump, who he's always been such a fierce proponent of black leaders, and he was awarded so many different things in the black community. And for him to be called a racist, I think it did really hurt his feelings. But then once you realize that this is just something they're throwing at you to try to shut you up so that you can't argue against anything that this political party believes, it loses all its power. Because if everyone's racist who they disagree with, then no one's racist. You know, if you start throwing this out there and just using it as a means to shut people up, it's going to lose a lot of its pain. And that's what happened. People go, oh, if you're calling me a racist because I'm making an argument that has nothing to do with race, because I disagree with your politics, then I'm not going to let it stop me from making my point. And that's what we're seeing now. This is just another form of that. It's just another way to, as Donnie Deutsch said, brand people or stigmatize an entire political party. And they've tried this so many times in so many ways, and it continues to fail to a degree. Let's play another Donnie Deutsch here. But first, let's go to the calls. Victor, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Victor.
Grace, always a pleasure listening to your show.
Thank you.
This replacement theory may have pushed this crazy person over the edge and killing 10 people up in Buffalo. But there are fingerprints from President Obama in his policies through the Secretary of Education that no students should be arrested and have their careers destroyed, where when this guy made these crazy allegations that he was going to shoot up the high school, and he wasn't arrested. He was put into a holding place for psychiatric observation. Had he been arrested, he would not have been able to legally buy the weapon that he legally bought and went out and killed these people. Again, policies have consequences.
Yeah, and you know what, Victor? There's so much talk now about new legislation and, you know, gun control and new laws that the Democrats are pushing. And they're obviously doing it because they think it's a more conducive environment right now. And they think more people will support some of these new laws. But I have to say, you can put as much as you want on the books, but if you do not have the infrastructure in place to enforce this stuff, then it doesn't matter. You know, we can have all the red flag laws, we can have all the background checks. If someone selling guns pulls up a background check and there's nothing on there, nothing's been written, then it's really pointless. And I'm sick of this. I'm sick of all of these people like Chuck Schumer drafting up all of these things and never saying, how did this happen? How did this happen? We have so much previous information on this guy. How was nothing recorded? How was no one alerted? Like, where in the system did it get lost? But that would require actual effort and maybe some self-reflection for the government, where they'd have to look into their own backyard and say, what are we doing wrong here? Was everything in like a box in the back room? How did we miss this? They'd never want to do that. So instead, he'll focus on Tucker Carlson because that's an easier thing for Chuck Schumer to do. That gets him more likes on Twitter. By the way, Tucker Carlson invited Chuck Schumer on a show. Because you figure you're going to call someone a racist. You're going to say Tucker Carlson has blood on his hands. You better be able to back it up. You better be able to go face to face with him and make your point. That's the least you can do. If you have any decency whatsoever, wouldn't you go on with Tucker? Say, I think you're responsible for this mass shooting, and here's why. I think you're an anti-Semite, which if Tucker Carlson was really pushing this great replacement theory, is that what it's called or just the replacement theory? I don't know.
I think it's just the replacement theory.
Whatever it's called. If Tucker Carlson was really pushing that, you would think Chuck Schumer would want to go on and denounce him on his show to his audience. But he declined. He declined because he's a coward. He declined because he knows he's being dishonest. You notice how Tucker invites everyone on his show. If you have a problem with Tucker, you're invited on his show. Why doesn't anyone ever go on? If he's such an idiot, if he's such a racist, if he's such a moron, if he's, you know, brainwashing all of these boomer rubes with his propaganda. Why won't someone come on and go toe-to-toe with him? If they're so much smarter, if they're so much, if they're morally superior to him and they hate him so much, then go on. Let's have a little back and forth. Let's listen to Tucker calling out Chuck Schumer. Cut six, please.
Maybe taking some names and putting people in jail. Who would those people be? Well, thanks to the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York, we now know. Schumer just sent a letter to our bosses here at Fox News blaming this show for the mass murder in Buffalo, as well as several other mass shootings in recent years. According to Chuck Schumer, this show spreads, quote, dangerous rhetoric and needs to be pulled off the air immediately in the name of public safety. Now, again, Chuck Schumer is a federal official. He is the leading Democrat in the United States Senate. And he is calling for media censorship. Now, there was a time, like maybe 18 months ago, and that would be considered a direct violation of the First Amendment. Now, we hear it every day. Let's throw them in jail. We wanted to hear more from Chuck Schumer about this. We invited him on the show tonight, as we always do. And because he is a coward, this is the only media appearance probably in history he's turned down.
It's so, so true. He loves the camera. He loves the camera. Any chance to get on TV, but except if he's going up against Tucker.
And it's funny that the guy who told two Supreme Court justices they would reap the whirlwind is now concerned about violent rhetoric.
Well, it's also funny that the tactic the left, it's not even funny, it's kind of scary that the tactic they take is, well, I can't, you know, I can't give credence to this show. I can't condone this show by appearing on there. And it's like, you really don't have to defend anything you say in that case. You can say whatever you want. And then if someone challenges you, you say, well, you're such a racist, moron, idiot, loser, boomer, credulous boomer rube. I can't talk to you about it. And it's like, okay, so you win the argument because no one's allowed to talk to you. You can only talk to people who agree with you.
And it's this stupidity of that statement. I'm not going to give credence to that show. You asked it to be taken off the air. You've given it credence. With that request, you are giving credence to that show.
And by the way,
by saying it needs to be removed.
If I have to choose, if I had to guess who has a stronger argument, two people disagree with each other. One person says, let's hash it out. The other person says, no, I'm going to stay home. You know who I think has a stronger argument? Yeah. I think we all know. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. I want to take a trip down memory lane, something we haven't done in a while. We're going to take a trip down memory lane. We're going to continue to take your calls. I appreciate everyone calling in today. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. That's right. It's a 3-Pack. This is the best deal they offer, and we get asked all the time if it works. Jared, tell everyone why you love the Thunderstorm so much.
I like it for a variety of reasons. The biggest one right now, especially, is for my allergies, because you can see that layer of yellow out there, and that means pollen. But if you have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, you turn it on, you just plug it into the wall or into the car, because it comes with a little USB cable. You just plug it in, you turn it on, and it ionizes the air, which gets rid of allergens and pollutants. It eliminates them from the air, so you don't have to worry about pollen if you have allergies.
And it doesn't take up any floor space. It's very small, very easy to use, no air filters, which not only saves you time, which is invaluable, but it also saves you a lot of money. You don't have to replace them. So get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We'll be right back with your calls. Stay on the line. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
The House Judiciary Committee is holding hearings right now on abortion rights, and some of the clips that are coming out of this hearing are really really telling, and they show you exactly how uncomfortable this topic makes the people who claim to be very supportive of abortions at any point in a pregnancy. We'll play that sound for you when we come back. I really just want to look at it, get all the names right of all these doctors that are speaking. But it's really, really interesting how they do not want to answer some of the most basic questions. And I pointed this out earlier in the week. I said, when you're having the debate about abortion and you bring up maybe if you're pro-life, let's say, and you have an issue with it, the common theme that I see is that Democrats or pro-choice people, because not all Democrats are pro-choice, but pro-choice people will say, what about rape or incest? And that's always their go-to line. And that's fine. That's valid. There's definitely situations where people go, maybe there should be other options. But something that never comes up as far as pro-life people to pro-choice people is, well, let's talk about the actual act here and what's happening, like the actual procedure. And they don't want to do that. And that's exactly what's coming out in these hearings, is that you have political leaders asking these doctors to describe what's actually happening in these abortions, and they don't want to do that. They want to use very vague language, very simple rhetoric, nothing inflammatory, nothing that would make people feel uncomfortable, because they don't want to talk about abortion. They just want to talk about choices. And we'll discuss that when we come back. Ronnie, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, thanks as always for taking the call, Grace. Love the show, and it just keeps getting better all the time. Love it.
Thank you, sir.
You're so welcome. Regarding Tucker Carlson and Chuck Schumer, one of the dynamics in politics that's made politics, and particularly the Democrats, so stale as a party is that Republicans are expected to run the gamut of hostile media all the time. I mean, 90% of the exclusive interviews that Trump gave was to hostile press. And yet Democrats never, ever, ever sit down with opposition media. I mean, you name the Democrat heavyweight, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Liz Warren, AOC, you name the Democrat heavyweight. And the one thing they have in common is that they never, ever sit down with a conservative host to be interviewed, because they know their ideas will fall apart in a minute. And it's made all these politicians, like particularly Democrats, very slow moving and very weak and very unable to answer on the fly. And the few times that in networks like CNN actually ask them a tough, legitimate question, their first response is to always get offended and say, you know, how could you ask me that? You sound like a Republican, instead of answer the question. And that dynamic has to stop. You know, Democrats can't continue to be allowed to never, ever sit down with opposition media, while Republicans, it's demanded of them that they do these Cersei Lannister walk of shame style interviews constantly. But Democrats never sit down to face that music.
Yeah. And you know what, Ronnie? Excellent call. So many great points there that I want to discuss. And I'll probably bring this into the next segment. But it's kind of the reason why, when you see the people that are elected, the Democrats that are elected, they're not very impressive. And they don't have to answer tough questions. And then you look at Republicans like Rand Paul, Tom Cotton. These guys are, you can hate them. You can hate Ted Cruz. They're not dumb. They're not dumb people. And then you look at Eric Swalwell, Chuck Schumer. And like Ronnie pointed out, they can't even answer a fair question, let alone a tough question. And that's what happens when you're not put into the ring and you don't have to defend your positions. You get a glass jaw. You can't take a hit. You don't know how to pivot. You don't know how to defend yourself, because you're used to just being coddled by the mainstream media. It's actually, they're doing them a disservice in the long run, because this is why they're so weak on everything. When we come back, you'll see some of that weakness from these hearings, and we're also going to take that trip down memory lane. Don't go anywhere.